I want you to go to the Old Testament tonight. We'll look at a familiar story found in 1 Samuel. I'm going to not spend the time it would take to read all the scripture on it. I believe you're familiar with it. I think the title of the message will say a little bit. Hopefully I'll follow up on it with some other stuff, but speak to you tonight on choosing God or government. That ought to fit currently enough. 1 Samuel chapter 8. I guess I'll apologize for this cough one time and keep on coughing. 1 Samuel chapter 8. I think I'm just going to read the first five verses. I think this should jog your memory, the story of what's going on here in this chapter. Says it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel. The name of the second was Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramoth, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old. Hey, by the way, we old folks don't need you to tell us we're old. I'm taking up for Samuel here and for some of the rest of us. Amen. He said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. I'm going to stop reading there, but you know the story. Samuel was a judge, of course, in Israel. He was the prophet. He had the power. Under God, God judged Israel in what is called a theocracy. Now, that's what the far left fears in America. They say we religious right want to rule in a theocracy. Now, that would be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? I mean, if God actually ruled America, you might not need policemen in the schools. Huh? I mean, if God actually ruled America, we could close down a bunch of prisons, don't you think? And a whole pile of other bad stuff. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if God had his compassionate way? What a ridiculous position that's being advocated today. But that's what they fear. But that's what God did here in the early years of Israel. He ruled Israel under his man. In this case, it was Samuel. And yet we have in the story that the people come to him. And they say, your sons are not doing right, and they certainly were not, and God dealt with them. But the thing they're saying to him here is, we've looked around, and we want to be like the other nations. And they have kings, and we'd like to have our king. It's almost like having designer shoes or jeans or something else. Everybody else has got them. You ought to have them too, amen? Oh, come on. You know what I'm talking about. I used to tell my son when he played sports here in school, and some of these boys talked some of you parents into buying them $100 worth of tennis shoes, and I told him, go to Walmart, get you a $5 pair, you can jump just as high. It's not the shoes that's doing the jumping anyhow. Amen? Anyway, you know where I'm coming from there. But here in the story of Samuel, we find a change in government taking place. We actually find the people choosing their government over God. Government they wanted over God. And as we look around a little bit in the country today, we see that kind of choice being made. I mean, really, that's what's the bottom line on it. Choices can be good or bad, of course. Somebody said to a young single man, he hadn't married, and they saw him as being, you know, a good target. And they said, a lady said to him, when are you going to choose someone to share your life with? And he said, well, I'm not sure, because he said shareholders want to become directors pretty soon.
Get that one? Sometimes a choice can be good, and sometimes it's not so good. Amen? But here they were choosing to have them a king instead of God. And God said, they haven't rejected you, Samuel. Don't you cry about it. They're rejecting me. And in a great way in America today, that's exactly what we're doing with God. We're rejecting God for man's organization, man's plan. Man's got a better idea. And where's it taking us? Right down the tubes. That's where it's taking us. But we look around today and see, comparing America to Israel's history is an amazing thing. Now, I understand this was to Israel. I understand the Old Testament, where it's directed. But Paul said it was written for our example and for our admonition. So the principles don't change. The truths don't change. And we can learn something from that. And I want you to consider with me just a little while tonight. What brought King Saul and his nation down? I mean, he became the first king. He was a big man. He started out, I think, with his heart right, really. He was head and shoulders above the rest of the crowd. And he had the allegiance of the people, but he got wrong. He got too powerful, and all those things that brought him down. And there's three problems that brought Israel down in those days that's bringing America down today. And I'll just talk about them a little bit tonight. To begin with, they started off with the problem of general conformity. We want to conform to what the other nations are. That's what they were saying. Make us a king. Like the other nations. Now, let me say this. America started out being different. The people that came to America did not come hunting gold. They came hunting to be able to worship God in freedom. To get out from under the state church. To get out from under the persecution. And there were whole little Baptist churches that literally, many of them had to leave their kinfolks behind, load up on a ship, and come to America because they were putting God first, and they didn't come for gold, they came for God. And that was our earliest beginning. I mean, when we go back to the Pilgrims and so forth, and America was supposed to be different, and America was different for so long, and America had God's hand of protection and God's blessing on it when we honored him. You'd see God in history if you read it. I like history. I wish I had more time. Even in school, I say something to you students. I hate to confess this. Marsh, first day of school. I didn't like school. But I did like a few things about it. I did like to read history. I did like to play a little ball. And as I got older, I liked seeing the girls. That's enough reason to go, but I still didn't like school as a whole. Amen. But in all that being said, God's had his hand on America. And if you go back in history, you'll see some things. For instance, in 1776, a bunch of militiamen, a bunch of farmers, if you please, with muzzle-loading guns, faced the biggest, best kingdom of the world, England, and won. Right. That had to be of God, folks. George Washington found bullet holes in his clothes and his coat when he would undress, and yet not a bullet hit him in those revolutionary days. England didn't quit in 1776. They just retreated back across the ocean for a while. They came back in 1812. You don't hear much about that. They came back and they went to Washington, D.C. They unloaded the boats. They marched the army into Washington, D.C. They somewhat took Washington, I guess, by surprise. And many of the militiamen, including the government, I'm talking about the Congress, I'm talking about James Madison, the president, they had to melt out and run to the countryside. Even President Madison and his wife were separated in their escape to get away from the British coming into Washington. And they burned the White House down. Literally burn it down. And they say the fire was so big they're burning Washington down. In fact, when Congress was finally able to get back together, they had to meet in a post office, the only federal building left. And the fire could be seen for 50 miles, a fire in the sky. And they were on a roll. They'd already taken the Capitol. They were on a roll. They were going to head to Baltimore next and Philadelphia and so forth. And then God took a hand. God sent out of a clear sky a hurricane on Washington, D.C. In that hurricane, he sent a big tornado.
It went up and down the streets of 1600 Peninsula, Pennsylvania Avenue in front of the White House, and it destroyed the red coats to the place. They had to huddle together, hold on to each other, sat down to keep the wind from blowing away, even blew some of the heavy cannons away. And as they were able to, the flood came and the winds came and the lightning came, and they began to retreat back to the ships. They finally made another effort at Baltimore, but by that time Baltimore was prepared. And James Madison was able to stay on horseback for 3 or 4 days and round up as much of the government as he could and meet at the post office to let the world know that the Continental government was still in power, that America was still functioning. Now I'll tell you something. That was no accident. That was a phenomenon. Out of the clear blue sky, brother, that storm hit. It hit where the red coats were. It moved them back. God simply was saying to them, no, sir, I'm protecting this bunch. Amen. And what I fear today is we're losing that protection. As we slap God in the face every way you can turn today, we're losing that hand of protection. Now, the old-fashioned idea about America is what we need to get back to. I still think it's a good thing to tell folks, if you don't love it, leave it. I remember when Jane Fonda was in the Vietnam War, was over there mocking America, taking one of the Vietnam artillery guns, and it looked like she was hunting down our airplanes, and one of our planes had been shot down, many of them had been, and she went and got straddle of that thing. I just wish it would have took off with her right there. But the truth is, we've had that inside crowd destroying America, and now much of that inside crowd is in power. And they're doing the job on us. But you know, it was free people that built this nation. And we've come to an attitude today, though, that government owes us something. Government's taking the place of God. Government's supposed to take care of us from the cradle to the grave. That's where we've come, and we want general conformity. You say, what are you talking about? Have you ever noticed from the commercials on TV, I don't like this. It's if they're going to sell you something. I don't care whether it's a water spigot in the sink or an automobile or whatever else they're trying to sell you. They put somebody there with a foreign accent trying to sell it. You understand what I'm saying? You come near selling me with Georgia hillbilly talk. Don't hand me none of this garbage. I don't believe they're any better. In fact, I don't believe they're as good as we are. And I understand you can get mad at me if you want to, but we've got to the place. And by the way, you know who's making the most money off of the clunkers for cash? Is that what it's called? Clunkers? Is that it? It's not husbands, it's cars, right? The foreign makers are making more off of it than the American brands. Amen. I meddle with some of you on that a little bit, but I'm just simply telling you something. I don't believe because you speak funny makes your product any better. Amen. Say, maybe they think you speak funny. Well, they're wrong. Pure language right out of South Georgia, bless God. Better learn it if you're going to heaven. But it was a free people that built our nation. I get so sick and tired of what's going on. Here's a congressman now, he's dead. Frank Carolyn said this. He said the forces, I got a little note here, I stuck in the Bible. The forces that reduce the power and influence of God and Christ in the lives of our people are seeking to become the levelers. Now get this, the levelers of men. It is their conviction that only through lowering mankind to a dependency upon the ideas and ideals and material judgments of superior people can we live together in harmony. Do you understand what the congressman said? He said there's an elite crowd out there that wants to level you and I, wants to put us on this socialistic level, but they're superior and they're going to tell us how to live. That's where we're at. Now, it might be a good idea if you get a swine shot. I don't know. But I don't know nobody telling me I have to. Not from headquarters. I suspicion that thing anyway. Didn't work on the swine. It might not work on me. I don't know. Somebody said the rabbit foot's lucky. Wasn't lucky for the rabbit. Amen.
Sometimes you got to watch some of that advice. But I don't like to be dictated to on that kind of stuff. And I don't believe government is God. I believe, bless God, he gave us a mind to choose. Then he gave us his word to measure our choices by. And our choices are important. But we best be careful we don't choose government over God, because that's what's happening right now. You know, the Bible warns us about this conformity thing. What does it say in Romans 12:2? Be not conformed. Be ye not conformed. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, God says don't be conformed to the world. It tells us not to love the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And yet what we have today, do you young people listen to me? You know what trends are? Who sets the trend? Do you know why these boys are running down the street with their pants falling off? It's a trend. It's sure not comfortable. It sure don't look good. It sure don't speak of character. Amen. It speaks of, I want to be like the other bums. That's what it speaks of. And going to be conformed to the world. The Bible tells you to not be conformed to the world. You know, biggest statement every parent ought to hate is hearing a kid say, but everybody else is doing it. That's not the yardstick. The yardstick, is it right? Is it wrong? How do you measure that thing? And we look around today and we see all that kind of junk going on. Government telling us everything. Get you a swine shot. Get you this. OSHA got all the warnings for the working man out here. And the little businesses are really hurting. I've told you this one before, I think, but they actually sent out notice to farmers. OSHA did. Set out notices to farmers that work with the land and the crops and the livestock. They sent a notice out to the farmers that cow dung can be slippery when it's wet. I tell you the truth. Now, I got news for you. If you follow the cow close enough, it comes out wet, bless God. You don't have to get wet from some other place. You didn't know that, did you? Getting deep for you tonight. That's government for you. The guy that wrote that warning probably never knew anything about a cow. I got to get off of that for you. But the truth is, that's the foolishness. Government over God is what's going on. That's what's going on. You see it everywhere you look. That's why we got conformity in religion today. You know, what we're seeing is the government wants to make all religion equal. It's not equal. There's true and there's false. There's the right way and the wrong way. There's God's way and the devil's way. Now, you got to choose one or the other. And they all can't be right. And I got news for you. Bless God, you can't pray to Allah and follow Muhammad and wind up in heaven with 70 virgins. You're going to wind up in the other place. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And that's a hated verse, becoming a very hated verse. John 14:6, hated in America because you can't have Jesus being the only way. He is the only way, or he was not telling the truth when he said he was. And he was telling the truth, of course. Of course. But we got this religion thing, you know. All of it is just the same. All roads lead to heaven. No, they don't. No, they don't. You see, in the long run here, Israel chose a king over God. Wasn't long. They wanted a king like the other nations. It wasn't long before they had gods like the other nations. And they slipped right into idol worship and brought the judgment of God down upon them. That's what it amounted to. Now, we're seeing that today. The Islam thing is in America now is amazing. There's an outfit, I'll spell the initials of it. It's C-A-I-R, we call it CARE. It's the initials for a Islamic group, big group, well funded, brother, big funded, and politically strong in the Washington area with a big lobby. And they are lobbying our congressmen to stop preachers and others like me from speaking ill of their false religion. That's what they're doing. They're doing that. And what you have is you have all this embracing compromise, even in so-called Christian churches. For instance, they had a meeting, big meeting here recently, and if the article I got is correct, and I have really no doubt in my mind about it, I hope I'm wrong, but it said Rick Warren was the main speaker. You know who I'm talking about? What is it? 40 days on purpose or something? Huh? What was the book he wrote? Anyway, a lot of churches had on their signboards, 40 days on purpose. We put a sign out here on our church sign. It said 365 days on purpose. Every day ought to be on purpose. Bless God for the Lord. But if he spoke to a false religious group and compromised his message to be accepted by them. Now, if he got up there and told them Jesus was the only way, and bless God, if you don't receive him, you're going to split hell wide open, then I'll say amen. How many of you think he said that? No, he didn't say it. But they've got compromising religion today.
Yeah.
Compromising religion is choosing government over God and trying to brainwash everybody it can. No wonder there's no power left. No wonder there's no morality left in America. No standards set. No gold to raise young people in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's all a compromise thing. Amen. And it's making government God. Three problems. The problem is general conformity. The second problem is general change. By the way, I appreciate two or three of those birthday cards you gave me this morning. Some of them border on indecent. One of them had two cats at the commode, and one of the cats was drinking out of the commode. And the caption on the card said, "Now you pay for the drinks next year." People that love me. One of the other cards had one of the most beautiful pictures of Obama on the front. Good picture of him. Almost as good as the one that was in the pyramid over there in Egypt. Did you see that one? You didn't see that one? You think I make that stuff up, don't you? Watch something besides Oprah on TV. Would you do that? Anyway, beautiful picture of the president on the front. And it opened it up, and it said something like this. I know you won't change. So here's what I'm saying. The third problem is general change. Problems that brought the government of Israel down. It brought the theocracy of God down as they chose a king like the other nations. The problem was general conformity. It was general change. And if you went through chapters 12 and on up through 15, you'd find out that the king did exactly what God told Samuel to warn the people he would do. That he would start out good, but he would end up bad. He'd wind up taking their children and taking their wealth and taking their freedom and everything else. And that's what we're getting in America. That's the change we're getting now. That's the change Israel got. Changing the old and proven truths. Right here in Florida, if you saw it on the news, it's been on the news. So if I can remember his name. Frank Lee, principal of the Pace High School, I forget what city here in Florida, is now facing 6 months in jail, he and his athletic director, for praying at lunchtime in the public school. Now, that was on the news. That was on the bottom caption of the news. I don't know where he prayed out loud. I don't know whether he prayed in front of the students. I don't know where he bowed his head. I don't know any details. But where have we come to in America when a high school principal that prays over his lunch is in threat of jail? It said he could get 6 months. That is amazing, folks. I mean, the old truths being thrown away. Marriage, honorable as marriage has always been and lifted up in America. Do you understand now that's a bad word? Do you understand the liberals are trying to destroy the value of marriage in America? I've got a note here somewhere.
Oh, if I could find it. Bear with me. I'm looking through my filing cabinet. My Bible becomes my filing cabinet. Maybe this is something on it. All right, here it is. Here it is. ACLU, Un-American Civil Liberties Union, announced its opposition to a public school sex education bill. The bill would require that course material and instruction stress that pupils should abstain from sexual intercourse until they are ready to get married. So the ACLU says that is a religious doctrine and you cannot teach it in the school. And they forced them to give it up. A teacher can't teach kids it would be right not to have sexual relations, not to commit the sin of adultery, that you ought to get married and raise a family and do it God's way, and now that can't be taught in the schools. Folks, we've come a long way. They're saying this is a traditional American value, and therefore it's unconstitutional to teach religion in the school. I'm saying to you, we've made some bad choices. We've been asleep at the switch, amen? And the general change. Now, you follow this story with Saul here. He began to rebel on God, and things began to go down, and all the old truths were dropped. And that's what's happening today. We look around today and we see the work ethic, it's gone. Bible says if you won't work, neither should you eat. That's talking about healthy people. Talking about, by the way, lazy people. And there's a disease going around that used to be called lazy. They got a lot of big names for it today. But to work. You know, we're to the place today, though, I couldn't help but laugh. They're fussing about all these town hall meetings with the people speaking back at the congressman. And they're actually making the threat that some of these people were organized. I thought we elected a community organizer. Didn't we? That's the only thing I ever knew that he did, according to the news I heard. So what's wrong with a little organizing, huh? But I want to tell you what it is. It's not that. It's a spontaneous bunch of older folks finally waking up. That's what it is. And you look out there and see the crowd, and you see a lot of gray in that crowd, and they're not quite as dumb as the government thought they were, and they finally realize this sharing the wealth and spreading the wealth around simply means for we that worked and paid in to Social Security and these other things, suddenly we're going to be spread thin to pay for everybody, and that's exactly what's going on, including the millions of illegal aliens that's in the country. It's really shocked them that some folks woke up a little bit. I'm going to say this, we woke up a little late. I like what I saw the lady on TV on the news saying the other day. She said, "You're waking up a sleeping giant." I said, "Amen if you can." Been trying to do that for a long time. There's enough churches if the preachers would just have some guts to get up and tell the people, and then the people would react like they're supposed to. This country would be in a lot better shape than it is right now. Truth of the matter is, what I'm saying right now may be streaming in through the cyber czar. Oh yeah, we've got so many czars, we can't count them now. You know, we already got more czars in Washington, D.C. than Russia had during the whole time. I'm not joking, count them. That's where we're at. But the work ethic has been lost. Too many are seeking a pleasant life instead of a meaningful one. There's a difference. You're not put here just to enjoy everything, just to have a good feeling, just to always eat what tastes good, do nothing you don't want to do. We are not put here for that. I hope at the end of my life, if Jesus don't come first, that somebody could say his life made a difference. It had a meaning to it. When I went to school in these school buildings down here, we had a old maid school teacher. She was an old maid then, but she lived up into her 90s, and she was loved by the whole town. Her name was Bessie Etheridge. And Sister Etheridge, helped a lot of us kids because she didn't only teach us the subject, she taught us a little common sense along the way. And I never forget more than one time, but I remember saying something like this in the classroom. She said, okay, I don't know, 7th, 8th grade, said, tell us what you want to be when you grow up. Write it on a piece of paper. And somebody wrote down Gene Autry, and somebody else wrote Mickey Mantle. I don't know what we all wrote down. None of it was worthwhile. She took it, and she looked at it, and she had posed a question to the class. And the question was this. She said, will the world have been a better off place because you lived your life in it? That made me think. Even as a young kid, I thought about that. She made us think a little deeper. Now, she was a Christian. She often let you know that. She was a Methodist. Of course, now she's a Baptist since she's got to heaven and got straightened out. But other than that, she's a good lady. She knew the Lord. And she gave us some good advice. And I ask you, do you ever think about that? Why are you here? The Bible says you're here to bring glory to God. Why are you left here after you get saved? To serve God. Amen. That's it. Otherwise, man, you get saved and go on out there and jump off the water tower and go to heaven. No more rent. No more nagging wife. Or whatever bugs you. But the truth is, God wants to leave you here to get somebody else to go with you. Amen. That's what the whole thing's about. Amen. Sure it is. And we see the downfall here. They begin to change things in Israel. They begin to conform like the others. And you know what we've got going on right now in America? We've got judges, and just put one on the Supreme Court, that wants to rule by what Europe thinks. Ginsburg that's going off, praise God, but being replaced, no difference. Said when you interpret the Constitution, you need to do it in light of the rest of the world. And she meant Europe. Our Constitution, my friend, separated us from Europe. We just had another legal czar, the top legal lawyer in American government, put in, installed, and his gripe is that our First Amendment gives too much personal rights to people. And he wants us to be judged by European law. You and I that know the Bible know that's where it's all heading. It's all headed to the global government. It's all headed to the global court. It's going to be a one world religion. And if somebody differs with you, you can't criticize them and say theirs is false. That's where we're heading. We're heading there fast. Really fast. But you know what? When it's all said and done, we Christians better remember we're anchored. While the world's going for this general change, we Christians are anchored to an unchangeable God. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Aren't you glad God don't change his mind about you every day? Aren't you glad that if you got saved through the blood of Jesus Christ and trust in him, that God don't change the rules tomorrow? As the girls were singing, the only blood you'll ever need. Christian, we are anchored to an unchangeable God and his word. And that's what I got so much against the crowd that keeps wanting to change his word. There's a big battle going on right now in independent circles. And some of you folks, better get used to this. I'm coming out with some articles in the College Anchor because sides are being chosen up over the King James Bible. And I've got to come out on it. I'm like Lester Roloff. Lester Roloff said, you attack my mother and I'm going to attack you. When you attack my Bible, I've got to attack you. Amen. Help yourself. I've never seen and never expected what's going on today. Let me tell you what. Jesus said not one jot or one tittle would pass from the law till all was fulfilled. Now, I either got a jot and tittle Bible or Jesus told a lie. Yeah, you think about that? I don't care who gets up and says, what about it? I'm going to go with him on it. You say, but you can't explain this. You can't explain that. No, if I could, I'd be smarter than God. By the way, the crowd that's trying to do that, they're not smarter than God. They just think they are. Amen. Just think they are. They're speaking ex cathedra. They're going to find out something about that. The truth of the matter is, there's a lot of changing going on, even going on amongst independents. We fuss about music, we fuss about this, that, and the other, but some of the core things, like the Word of God, is being attacked. And it's too bad. But we're anchored to an unchangeable God. By the way, the world's going to find out, ultimately, they're anchored to Him too. I can tell you two links they can't get away from. One of them is death, and the other one is judgment. They're linked to God. If they were not, they'd quit dying. But they die. And my Bible tells me after death is the judgment. Point unto men wants to die, and after that, the judgment. So everybody's linked to God. Everybody's going to answer to God. Everybody's going to face God. And you're not going to change that. Now, general change of all the old truths and laws brought Israel down. And the heathen come in and conquered. Then I also say the other thing that brought them down is bringing America down tonight is general covetousness. The 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. Do you know why we accept all the stuff we accept from government? Because we think we may get something for free. If we really think it through, God, the government can't give you anything they didn't take away from somebody else. The government don't produce a thing. It just collects. And America's gone out by the work ethic and by character and has built this nation to be the greatest nation in the world and produce the highest standard of living. And now all of a sudden we are being told that we're wrong and we're crooked and we're sinful if we want to enjoy the fruits of our labor. We don't have a right to the fruits of our labor. We're supposed to give to the guy that never labored. It's the old story of the ant and the grasshopper. Remember which one played away until the snow come? Who was knocking on the other one's door for that he didn't lay up? I got to get real deep with you tonight and tell you that whole story. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That's exactly where we're at. We're taking away from the ants and giving them to the grasshoppers. Amen. Covetousness will get us in trouble. In 1 Samuel 15, right here, we're close where we're at. You find where God had told King Saul to go against the enemy, the Amalekites. And boy, they were a bad bunch. God had told the king through Samuel the prophet to go slay all of them. You remember the story? 1 Samuel 15. And when Samuel came and asked Saul, God gave you the victory. Now, did you slay that crowd? Slay it all. Slay all the animals. Get rid of that cancer. And Saul said, yes, I did. Samuel said, then what meaneth the bleeding of the sheep? Remember the story? He said, what am I hearing out there in the cattle pen? Oh, he said, we saved the best of them so we could give them to God. We could offer, boy, the excuses. You don't invent anything new. That thing Saul used, people use all the time. I've had people say to me, well, preacher, I know I'm not supposed to gamble. I'm not supposed to play the lottery, but if I win, I'll give the church a tithe. That's Saul, the bleating of the sheep. Amen? By the way, if you do win it, tithe. I can't help but have some fun. You don't have any business playing it. And I have honestly pulled up to some of those places to get gas and go in there to pay for the gas and seen fellas take their welfare checks and push them across the counter to buy some lottery tickets. I wonder how many hungry kids are at home. Amen. That's a sin, and it's sin when the state backs that stuff. No matter where it's back from Washington or Tallahassee, it's sin, brother. That's all it is. God is never in that business. But the excuse that Saul made was, we saved some for the Lord. That don't excuse a thing. Don't excuse a thing. You know, democracy falls over this thing of covetousness. We covet. And I've said it so many times. History records, even before America was ever founded, that democracies could only last 200 years at the best. Because as soon as the common man found that he could vote himself out of the common treasury a handout, it would destroy democracy. And that's where we're at. Where are we getting the trillions of dollars that we're printing? Where are we getting it? We're creating it out of thin air, and the bubble's going to burst.
That's right.
And I've read in the Bible about it bursting. Amen. But this covetous thing has got people by the throat today. Now, you know, you and I, we know something about this book. We're expecting the Lord to come. We're expecting, like God took care of the Jews in the land of Goshen down there in Egypt, that he's going to take care of his people until he calls them out. Now, he may cut our lifestyle down a little bit. You may find out you can get by with a lot less than you thought. I think that's quite possible. And if the rapture don't come before too long, we're going to begin to experience that stuff. You say, well, I'll just hoard this money. Well, it won't do any good. You just light a fire with it. I know how happy that makes you. The truth of the matter is, it's happened to other nations. When inflation took over in Germany before Hitler came to power, I've got a book somewhere I could dig out, shows you an actual live, real picture of a woman taking piles of the German money, putting it in her stove, and lighting it to have a fire. Because it was worthless. Just as worthless as that used newspaper that you've got. So folks, our dependence is not in government. It's in God. And we better make the choice, clearly the choice, as to which one we're choosing. Now, I say to you tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, I want to simply say this to you. I've talked about these three steps that brought Israel down. They're bringing America down. And simply this. And I'll apply it to you if you're not saved. If you want to conform to the world, it'll bring you down. It'll keep you from being saved. If you want to change the way to be saved, change the old truth, the old gospel, the old good news that God sent his son, loved you while you was yet a sinner, shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, paid for your sins, something you could not pay for yourself. That's the gospel. You accept that. You side with God against yourself and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, and I'll trust Jesus. There's nothing good about me. If you want to change that, you change it to your own hurt. That's the only way to heaven, is through Jesus, through his grace. Number three, what brought Israel down was covetousness. Give us a king like the other nations. We want to have the designer clothes like them, so to speak. Covetousness. And you know what? That keeps a lot of folks lost because they're so afraid if they get saved, it's going to cost them something. It's going to cost me if I get saved. You mean you're going to have to give up your fish hooks and your marbles for heaven? How do you see that as a cost? How do you see that what you're going to give up, this old hunk of hide and a little bit of hair on it that's deteriorating all the time and finally going to gasp out its last breath and they're going to bury it in the ground and it's going to turn back to dust, you're afraid it's going to cost you that compared to heaven? I don't think you're thinking straight. But covetousness, what's it going to cost me? I remember one time being at a soul-winning booth at a fair in Orlando. It starts in Tampa as a fair. It comes down as the Orange Festival in Winter Haven and then wound up in Orlando. And I was pastoring the country church, and I went up there and helped Brother Joel Smith, which had rented a spot on the fairway and put up a soul-winning booth. And we had a couple of catchy signs, and we had a little religious survey there on the counter. And I took some of my young people up there, and his church would mend it so many hours, and mine would for a while. And we won a lot of souls to the Lord. But one of the questions I got over and over again is I would tell about the grace of God, sit there with people across the table and share the good news that salvation was a gift. It was already bought and paid for by Jesus. And more than one time, they'd say, what's the catch? What's it going to cost me? Isn't it amazing how we're built? Isn't it amazing this depravity that we have? This old nature that we have? And the truth of the matter is, that's what keeps a lot of folks lost. I might have to give up something. I'll tell you something. You receive Jesus. You really get saved. You won't have a bit of problem giving up some things that you ought to give up. And when you give them up, he'll give you something better in their place. Amen? We could have testimonies all over this building about that. But Israel's nation came down when they chose government over God. And America's in the same spot tonight. Make sure you're not personally in that spot. You're making that bad choice. Because government can only carry you so far and no further. God can carry you all the way. You better side with him. Let's bow our heads.